What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo. Another game week has gone by. Another opportunity missed to get our first win of the season, unfortunately. And I have, you know, to share this moment, unfortunately, with two gentlemen who also don't want to be sharing this moment either. We're currently recording this as well, just so you know, as the Arsenal-Crystal Palace game is going on. So the Premier League predictor game is yet to be decided. But as usual, I am joined by Tobes, and I'm joined by Tom. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Been better, been worse.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting there, isn't it? It's all right. We'll get there. We'll get to what you think that at the minute. And there are very pressing questions I have for you, by the way, when it comes to that. And Tom, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm great, mate. Weekend's over. We move on. We're into Luton week. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get straight into it. First thing then, Tobes, you were there. How'd you find it?
Do you know what? It was nice weather. It was a nice day out. The songs flying about, New Mason Mount one was quite amusing. Good form in the concourse was really lovely, and then the game happened. And actually, no, do you know what? The first half was good as well. It was annoying to concede from West Ham's main threat of being a set piece early doors, but in general, the first half I was very happy with. Second half, that was a half we've watched for years, wasn't it? Where we just struggled to break down a low block. It felt like a game I've seen so many times, that second half. It was frustrating, but it was a fun day out, man. I haven't been to a Chelsea game since Dortmund, I think. So it's been a while.
Really? Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, before we get into the full breakdown, obviously you sent us a little voice memo, as you do, after the game, so I'll have a little listen to that.
Same old problems, lads. Not enough goals, not enough creativity. You spend a billion and, you know, no disrespect to the lad, because obviously he's a young boy coming through, but you spend £1 billion, you bring in on Burstow looking for a goal. I think that says in terms of the recruitment's not been targeted enough in terms of what we lack. Obviously, we need to address the midfield, and they've done brilliantly there. Keeper, I want to see that second goal back. Obviously, I haven't seen it on TV to the same extent, so I don't know if he couldn't have got it. I thought that second goal looked savable. Really poor game changes when that pen gets missed. It's same old, you know, not finishing our chances. Same old Chelsea. We could have played another 2 hours and we wouldn't have scored, even against 10 men. Even if they had 10 men, I felt like we weren't going to score. It was all very side to side. You miss Reece for those overlaps, and you know that's not knocking Malagusto, but he just doesn't offer what someone like Reece James can. And that's the sad reality of things. It wasn't there for us. I thought Poch got it wrong. I don't think you need to play five against West Ham. It sounds like sour grapes. It's not. They're not a good side. You have to be wary from set pieces. We go and let a set piece in after 2-3 minutes. It changes the game on its head. They weren't doing anything. They go and get that goal right after half time. Like, I just banging your head against the wall with these lot. You know, you wish you could just detach quickly after the game, but it's not the case. It's frustrating. It's worrying. Like the worrying thing for me is just us against low blocks, and this has been the case for a long time. Even when Hazard was there, Hazard could dance through them and create something because he was Hazard. But other than that, it's a Drogba Lampard days that I felt. I'll give Fabregas and Costa credit. Probably since then, since I felt comfortable with us breaking down a low block. If everyone just sits behind the ball, you've done half the job against Chelsea, haven't you? Really. Sterling, first half, a bit like Liverpool, first half I thought it was right. Second half didn't do anything. No one did anything second half. Madueke had that shot that was deflected, they got saved at the end, that was about it. Game was gone by the time they gave the penalty away, it didn't matter. I'm going to go for a Chinese and try and enjoy it. Up the Chelsea, but do you know the thing is? It's like, well, you're looking at it, you're like, okay, go sign some creativity, go sign an attacker. I'm tired of celebrating signings. I want to celebrate some results, lads. Signings are all well and good. I want to see some on-pitch results. Is that too much to ask, Chelsea? Is that too much to ask? Yeah, we move.
I was sad there. I was very sad there.
It was
that's fresh off. That's fresh off of the defeat and a few beers as well. I think we should keep that in mind.
You can hear the beers.
My favourite bit was you were there just going, I'm going to go have a Chinese. Just wait to drive around here.
Do you know what? I mean, for a good hour or so, the Chinese did satisfy to the extent that I was not thinking about us, which was nice.
What did you have?
Kung Po prawn, chili prawn. No, I had, yeah, I did have Kung Po prawn. I had bosh.
Really,
I had
what he was doing.
I had duck hoisin pancakes.
Nice.
With some prawn toast, seaweed.
Seaweed can be hit and miss though, can't it? Like seaweed, was it good seaweed?
Seaweed's absolutely elite.
It is, yeah, but you can be really hit and miss. Like if you go to the wrong Chinese, it's really not that good.
I do agree with that, but this place, it delivers like a postman.
Nice.
And yeah, so those are kind of starters, a bit of ribs in there. Then sweet and sour chicken, Kung Po chili prawns, noodles, special fried rice, and this sort of sizzling beef. It was that cut so thin. That was really good. It was already good. I'm a big Chinese man. I mean, I'm not a Chinese man, but I'm a big fan of Chinese.
So basically, you're basically now going to be Chinese Toad, like Chinese Alan was in.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody order a Chinese.
Chinese.
I mean, in fairness, I'm going to rock the boat a bit here, and I might surprise a few people. I'm really not a massive Chinese guy. I don't really like Chinese. It's like it's not my go-to option.
Disgrace. That's an absolute disgrace.
Mate, I was just about to suggest there's going to be a pod name. One of these episodes will be the one where they go and get a Chinese and do a podcast.
It'll just be Toads and I.
We will absolutely do that. Me and Gary were ironically talking about this the other day because he's got a friend who runs like just a pizza van. And he was saying, we should do a podcast, we just go get pizza. So I'm very keen. Dang. Like once a month, just do a podcast, we just go get food and chat shit. Like I feel like there is a podcast crossover opportunity here with the Pretty Patch podcast.
A mukbang.
Go to the Samrat, have an Indian, talk about the football, and try and master farts away from the audio.
I'm a reverse you here. I'm not massive on. I was about to say Indian. That sounds a bit racist. I'm not massive on Indian food in England. I haven't tried Indian food in India. I do like bhajis, I like samosas, but like I don't know, curry and rice. I'm just not asked.
Sorry, I've not heard anything so Alan Partridge on a podcast ever. I'm not a big fan of India. I mean Indian food. I'm being slightly racist. I'm not an Indian food in India though. I mean, I love an Indian. Right? For me, right? I don't count Italian food as like a cuisine because for me it's just home food. So like, if I go out and like, I choose what to have, Turkish is the best. Hands
I like
down.
Greek.
Every time. Greek. Can't say Greek and Turkish at the same time, though, because, you know, causes a few problems, that. So you've got to pick one or the other, you know. You've got Greek or you've got to go Turkish. You know, it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Just to get political. Because, obviously, like we said, we cover wars on this podcast. We've got that. I then go Indian. And then I'd probably, Chinese after that. It's probably I wouldn't choose it, but it's there. I'll have it. But we should absolutely do a podcast, the one where they get a Chinese, the one where they get an Indian. And then, we'll go from there.
Some of the French cheeses with Tom.
Oh. No, you're talking. I mean, I love all food. All the things you mentioned have made me
We're
really
hungry. We're a multicultural
lot. Yeah, I would love a bit of cheese with Marcel Desailly one day.
That's just absolutely got to happen. Just going to say, Gary, if you're listening at this point, which you said you would be, can you sort of send an interview with Marcel Desailly where we just have cheese with him? That'd be great. Thank you very much. But anyway, we've gone off on a tangent, as we like to. Let's talk a little bit about how you found the game, Tom, like when you're watching it from the sofa. Because for me, when I'm watching Chelsea at home, I float. So I watch the game, but I kind of always kind of have it on in the background. It's a family thing, right? So my dad at home can never watch Chelsea. He hates it. He's always like trying to find something else to do, floats in and out, like really struggles with it. Yesterday I was cooking and I was like watching the game at the same time and panicking. So how did you find it, Tom?
It was a bit panicky. It was more panicky than last week, definitely. I think... I don't know, just from the off, there are a couple of balls, like long balls they played over, and I was suddenly like, oh, hang on, we look a bit weak there. And then obviously they scored pretty early on. I think it was 7 minutes or something from Shock, a set piece, which, you know, obviously it was a great ball by your man, James Ward-Prowse, but the defending for the back stick was pretty poor, I think, and Gallagher and actually can't remember who else. I think it was Chukwuemeka had let Aguerd get away. But, you know, that happens. West Ham have a lot of tall players. You can't mark all of them, I guess. And then we look unbelievable after that. Best I've seen us play since top probably since we had Tuchel. Maybe even before that. In the rest of that half, we were incredible. I thought Sterling was well, he was Raheem Sterling, not whatever we had last year on loan. And, you know, obviously Jackson, it just, I love him already. He just looks the part and he just needs to find a goal. And I think, you know, it's the world's his oyster. Obviously, Chukwuemeka, lovely goal. And I'm like, here we go, this is it. And then obviously he got injured. We won a penalty. We missed the penalty. We go in at halftime 1-1. And I'm thinking, how are we not winning this game like 4-1 at this point? And then they score one goal on the counter, the classic West Ham goal of just hoof it up to Antonio. And then, you know, we've got Colwell and De Sassi, you know, who probably don't even know each other's names. Antonio goes to the middle of them, holds off one, slots it past Sanchez. Tobes, in your thing, you said it might be the goalkeeper's fault. I'm not convinced, but either way, they scored that.
He got a hand to it, though, didn't he? He did get a
hand. When I rewatched, it was, yeah, because it's at the other end and you need binoculars at that place. I didn't have a good view of it, but yeah, it was. I rewatched the game fully today and I can't really fault him. I thought, because he got a hand.
Because it goes through the legs. It goes through the keeper, the defender's legs. I think that always makes it harder. But from then, I think, you know, then it was a case of what I feared last week, of kind of heads dropping when we fall behind, and do we have, you know, the kind of players to pick us up? And I think we maybe found that not currently we do. I mean, like, obviously Reece James wasn't there. Chilwell was then hoiked off early on, which I thought was weird. Thiago Silva, even though he is obviously very experienced, doesn't seem to be the biggest sort of outspoken leader in the team. And then I think our lack of experience was slightly showing a little bit in how we dealt with the rest of the game. They obviously then got a red card, and to be honest, even after the red, they still looked the better team and the more likely to score, which they then did. So it was a lot of lessons will have been learnt from that, from the players, from Poch. So, you know, but yeah, okay, it's an L and not a particularly pleasant one, but we have to roll with the punches and move. It's going to be one of those seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was always going to be the case. Like we were saying in our pre-season stuff, there are going to be games where we expect results because the team is so young. We are going to, you know, see the issues arise. I think that, look, overall for me, like the Antonio guy, as much as I've just said Sanchez got a hand to it, for me, Antonio just proved, you know, if you look at Axel De Sassi, right, he got a bit of a rude awakening and a, you know, a welcome to the Premier League. You know, the way that Antonio shrugged off Colwell, just burst past De Sassi, put it in the bottom corner. I mean, great finish, in fairness. But, you know, I think, you know, there are some things we need to look at. But it's gonna come a time. Like Tom's saying, this is going to be a season where we need to bed people in. And I think the big thing we're looking at is that lack of experience really did show yesterday for me. And we either bring in some older heads to sort of help that process move a bit faster, grease the wheels a little bit, or we just look at this as what it looks like it's going to be, which is a lot of young players are going to learn the hard way and it's going to move that a little bit slower than we want it to. One of those players that we do need to talk about is Moises Caicedo. Obviously, a bit of a nightmare debut, wasn't it, guys?
Yeah, it looked like a guy who hadn't played pre-season, hadn't played a minute since May, if I'm honest. Like, I thought Poch did get yesterday wrong. Like I said, when I rewatched, I actually feel less annoyed. Like Tom was touching on, some of the best football we played in that first half. Sterling looking good, it was nice, but he got some of the subs on, obviously taking Carney off. I think the Chilwell sub was more for Mudryk coming on, because he plays so high up. It's like you have two of the same player there with the way that Chile's been playing in that five. I'd like us to go back to that four in pre-season, because I really liked us there, and I think it gives us a lot of, when you're controlling a game against a team that just wants to sit behind the ball like West Ham, you should be doing that. But yeah, with Caicedo coming on in that game state, not being up to speed, it was just a bit of a recipe for disaster. I think if he'd started the game, he'd have looked better, to be honest, because at least he'd have grown into it a bit. But yeah, it was a tough game. And equally, I think with that, like, Mudryk's cameo was frustrating. There was a couple of wayward shots. There was times where he did beat someone or won a free kick, but a bit frustrating. With these players, I want them to, especially because we were touching on how young they are, this is going to be a season where we've bought these seeds. We've bought some fucking expensive seeds, and we need to grow this tree. We need apples coming off it. And we'll start to see that as time goes on, we will get better. I felt a bit more at ease after rewatching it, really, in that sense, because players like Madueke, Mudryk, shoving them on in a game state where you've got 11 men behind the ball, or 10 in their case, by the end, and just being like, right, go break them down. You've barely even starting between them. Neither of them have started over 10 games for us. Go break them down. You're expected to do this now rather than bed them in. You know, keep playing them. Because even as much as I don't like Arsenal, a few years ago, Marcel and Saka were not as consistent as they are now. Like, they've played a lot of football. It takes a while to get up there. We've bought these seeds. They're expensive ones, but they need the time. We'll learn lessons from it. We'll take it and we will move. Disappointing because of how good the first half was. That game should have been dead and buried, and the penalty did change the game, really.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think West Ham, obviously, they did show those signs of maturity. Thomas put in the notes, I get to talk about the set-piece defending, which wasn't great. And obviously, we've already mentioned James Ward-Prowse. I just want to say this now, just getting this out there. It's not one I like to do, but for people who always doubted us and the listeners, when are people going to stop doubting my ball knowledge just because he's not called Joao or João Ward-Prowse from the fucking Portuguese league? Like, that was... He played well and he showed, with his experience, how to carve a team open. So, we'll have to see. It wasn't great. I'm not panicking. I'm kind of going, cool. We've got 36 games left to play. Chelsea Twitter needs to chill the fuck out.
It's all one extreme to the other at the moment. I just think it's time to just soak it in and realise, like, chill out. It'll take a bit of time. We will get there.
Yeah.
If at the end of the season it's another of last season, then you'd be more concerned. But I don't see that being the case. I think there are a lot of nice signs. Like, we've played four halves of football. I've been very happy with three.
I've been happy with half. I think two out of four. I mean, Sterling's showed up for two out of four. So, you know, I think he's probably the barometer right now. We've looked better, I think, this season so far. You can already see. I like how players have been a bit more direct. Like you talk about Mudryk and Madueke, I just want to see them take people on because that's what they're very good at. Potential, I think, you know, Mudryk is right-footed, so obviously, hopefully, he'll just, if you played him and Chua together, Chua will overlap, he'll come inside. But like we said, this is a whole new team, basically. You know, we've had a huge amount of outgoings. We've got loads of new players coming in again. Obviously, compared to last season, where it was a bit more scattergun, this seems to be a bit more targeted, and there seems to be a growth pattern there, but we'll have to see what happens with it. But instead of being negative, I've already mentioned one positive. Raheem Sterling looked good. Nico Jackson looked fantastic. He just needs to get that goal. And I think, for me, in that situation, if we're going to talk about it, potentially the centre-forward should be our designated penalty taker, because I'm not sure about how Enzo handled that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, to be honest. I mean, the thing, Enzo's penalty record is obviously very good. I think before that he had 5-5, so that is his first miss. But I do think, you know, when you've got an enthusiastic striker who, you know, is clearly quite confident anyway, you give him the penalty, he scores it, you know, he can just keep growing and becoming more confident. And naturally, I think a striker, unless, you know, you have a Jorginho specialist penalty taker kind of player, you should always be taking a penalty as the striker, really, I think. I know, obviously, Watkins didn't take for Villa either, so maybe it's becoming more of a thing, I don't know. But, yeah, I would have given it to Jackson, and I wonder if we do get another one soon, who might take that one, because you don't necessarily want to take it away from Enzo after one miss. But as Tobe said, the game was changed after that missed pen, so we've got to look into that. But I also like the point Tobe said about, you know, obviously Arsenal and the project that they had, and I think that's not what we're copying, because we've spent £1 billion, but we're sort of trying to almost mirror that, I think, is probably not a bad idea, a bad project. You know, in terms of their wingers, you look particularly at Saka and Martinelli, which cost Arsenal £5 million. I just see Louis laughing at me saying we spent £1 billion.
this is a great project idea. We're not copying that because we spent £1 billion. It's just
But I mean, it's
the age thing, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. And in terms of the playing football is the key. That's what it is. And it's not about, and that's why Poch is the perfect manager, because he trusts the kids and he'll throw more on and, like, you know, okay, yeah, didn't quite work this week, but one day it will work. We'll have that, you know, someone like Madueke or Mudryk, hopefully Mudryk eventually, will try something that maybe someone more experienced wouldn't do, and then it will work out and we'll be like, oh yeah, that's because I got all these kids playing. So, you know, it works both ways. And I think ultimately, you know, if we can stick around and start showing signs, then in 2 or 3 years' time, we're going to have a hell of a squad with a lot of people coming into the age profile we want. So, you know, a lot for Chelsea fans, as I'm finding out, are like the least patient people in the entire world and just think that just spend £1 billion and you're going to win the league. Well, it doesn't work like that. So, yeah, you've got to be patient and enjoy the process because, you know, look at Arsenal now. They're brilliant now, but they were terrible not that long ago.
They were going down. we were joking about them going down. They had Arteta out shirts and everything. Like, let's, you know,
that was two seasons ago. Less than two seasons ago, because it was after three games 2 seasons ago. They lost all three, and then they beat Burnley 1-0 in their fourth game, or Norwich 1-0. They won their fourth and fifth game 1-0 against Norwich and Burnley. So that's 2 seasons ago. So just stick with the process.
Well, this is it.
We're going places.
I think there's no better fit right now. And I do worry that a lot of people have been very impatient, going, this isn't the Chelsea we know. It's like, well, no, this is a completely different club. Everything internally as well, in terms of how the club's run, this is not the same club it was 3 years ago. Like, within 2 years, everything's changed. Everything. So we need to understand that this is going to be a hell of a teething process. Poch needs time. He really does. And this isn't Graham Potter. Right, with Graham Potter, I was kind of there by about January, February, going, this ain't right, this ain't working. But the difference between him and Poch is an elite manager who's managed elite players and get teams to elite levels. So let him do his thing. People are talking. I was having a conversation yesterday under one of my tweets where someone was saying, you know, I thought he'd be a bit more aggressive about it already. It's been 180 minutes of football. Like, people really need to relax. It's going to take an extended period. I'm saying, for me, I think you can only really start judging this team mid-November, in my opinion.
And even then, that'll be without Nkunku, like one of the most senior players. Exactly. You're not going to have that till January. Like, it's just going to take a bit of time.
Exactly. So, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. So, deal with it, chill the fuck out. And we move on to the next game. Enjoy the ride, exactly. But this will be the perfect time for you to take a quick break, if you'd like to. Again, has nothing to do with the fact that our Zoom has 2 minutes and 48 seconds remaining on it at all.
Breaking the fourth wall.
Exactly. I'm like Deadpool. I'm basically a fat Ryan Reynolds. I'm a sexy fan in football. You know, it's just a thing, right? But I mean, speaking of wearing tight lycra, we never know what's going to happen now, do we? So anyway, guys, take a break and then we'll be back for the Luton preview. Okay, welcome back. Hope you all use that midway point as a nice little bit of pre or mid-game entertainment. I know that Tobes had some. He had a lot of fun typing in the code. Obviously, Jordan's here as well, but he was really intelligent, emailed it to himself. First one in here, all sorted. But Tobes comes in.
Well, you know, we were close. So I had to type out the whole Zoom URL, I think the kids call it. And it said WVNK. So we almost had the word wank.
Opposite A. Upside down A.
Yeah, yeah. We were so close.
So close. More than you believe.
Okay.
More than you believe, I'm happy.
Oh dear. Well, we didn't get that in the end. I've got to zoom into my notes because for some reason my screen's gone bare weird. But we're back into it now. Obviously, this is not the preview for Luton, but we're going to kind of look forward to it a little bit and have a chat. Obviously, sort of like, where do we go from here, really, after that West Ham game? Luton, I guess, lads, is the potential for the start of a really good run.
They're fucking shit.
This is recorded on the internet. You do know that, right?
Oh, mate, if we... Look, if they can't beat Luton...
Then we are in trouble. They'll be a bit
like, come on, okay, Poch, what's going on here, man? Like,
yeah.
They're rubbish. They are a rubbish team, and they are going down. And, you know, it's good that they're up. I'm happy for them. They'll have the memories. They'll have the parachute payments. But, I mean... I say this and then we're going to get a Ross Barkley screamer.
I was literally going to say it. Yeah. Ross Barkley, yeah. You're at it in.
Nah, come on, man. Let's back ourselves. Like, I think we can beat Luton at home. I don't think that's a controversial thing to throw out there.
I mean, it
we should beat Luton at home.
We should do. We should do. I mean, our next three games as Tom's joined.
Have you watched them, by the way?
Yeah, I watched the highlights of the Brighton game, and my God, they cannot defend. And they couldn't even play their second game because the stadium's not up to standard. So yeah, I mean, that tells you everything you need to know.
Hang on, wait, before we go, are you drinking sparkling water?
San Pellegrino?
Are you a psychopath?
Maybe,
I
don't
know. I only ever have sparkling water if there's like a little cup of it when I have an espresso. Cause, you know, I do my hand just
because you're real Italian.
I'm
yeah.
so Italian.
Oh, it tastes like TV static to me. I just can't back it.
It's a weird thing to taste, but
I don't openly choose to drink sparkling water. Who drinks what?
Okay, this has gone back.
Are you okay?
Talk about there's tangents, and there's going from Tom's written down the Luton. Wait, hang on, are you drinking sparkling water? And then we go on that for like 20 minutes because that'd be very us.
You're drinking sparkling water.
I'm drinking sparkling water. It's now finished. It was delicious. At me in the comments if you want. I don't really care. I'm going to get more later. So we move.
Okay. Well, there's a poll straight away. Sparkling water, sociopath or not. Anyway, Tom has joyfully noted that our next three games are Luton, Wimbledon and Forest, or the next three home games. I guess three winnable fixtures. touch any piece of wood you can find, gentlemen. Look.
Just touch my cock. Yeah, okay, moving on.
<God's sake.
laughs> Luton are going to hold this Chelsea wood. Let's get back to the... Let's get back on.
Louis's gone again. But yeah.
Let's go to Louis. Louis's like silently laughing. We're getting, there here we go.
Jamie Carragher.
Louis's gone.
We're not getting him back, I think. We're going to have to do another Zoom in 40 minutes.
Anyway, Tom, the three home games.
Yes, mate. Well, I think they're three, obviously three extremely winnable games. We have to be... We have to win them. We have to go and win these three games. And to be honest, we have to go and put these three teams away in style. Like, I've had enough, as you said in your post-game debrief, I've had enough of celebrating signings and all that. I want to celebrate a performance. I want to celebrate a proper win. And I think these three games could really set us up. I mean, I'm thinking Jackson scoring goals. I'm thinking maybe Mudryk coming on scoring goals. I'm thinking, you know, just general goals from a team and hopefully some clean sheets as well. And just, as I say, general performance, you know, where we actually go and score 3-4, dare I say it, more than that goals. And, you know, that's no disrespect to Luton or Wimbledon or Nottingham Forest. But who, to be fair, Forest have looked all right defensively so far. But, you know, these are three games that I would expect us to go and win and win properly. And, you know, I said it will come need to be patient, but, you know, say we lose to Luton, there's going to be serious pressure on Poch then.
But it'll be a good test as well, I think, just because of, obviously, they're really struggling. Antonio has always given us a hard time the last few years anyway, so Thiago's, even someone like Thiago has always struggled with it, but that Awoniyi will give, or Awoniyi, I might have got the pronunciation wrong there. He'll give him a test. He's a good player. He's a good striker. I actually look at him and I don't think he'd be like a bad backup option. No,
he's got 6 in a row, 7 in a row now in the Prem? I think he's got two.
But he's got that kind of build about him where he'll just be a nuisance to any defender he's up against. He's a good player. Like, I know we're linked with Johnson, aren't we, from them? But he probably... And Gibbs White's another good player, but they got some tools that can hurt you. So, you know, they're not... These aren't the teams we should be competing with, but there are aspects that will be a good test, like you said, to get those clean sheets.
For sure, but I think it comes as well to this kind of naivety in the team and dealing with the physicality of the Premier League. I don't think there are going to be many more physical teams than probably Luton, that is their one strength, I guess, is that they are a big team. They're going to sit behind the balls. It's another proper low block. And Luton coming to Stamford Bridge are not going to try and get forward and score a goal unless they have to, you know, say we... hopefully take the lead early on. So they're going to sit back, and the longer it goes on, the more they'll believe and the more it will happen. But, and as we saw against Brighton, like, they leak one, they leak many. They are a leaky team at the back at the Premier League level. And obviously Brighton are a very good side as well, and they went and battered Wolves a week after. But I mean, these are the kind of games we have to start winning and winning comfortably. Otherwise you kind of just not question where we're going, but it does start becoming slightly difficult to sort of not back Poch, but be as enthusiastic as we have been these first 2 weeks.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm back.
Yeah, these are the ones we want to see, the more signs than any should be in these games, where the quality should be just such a big gap.
Absolutely.
I'm back now. I completely agree with everything you said.
Recovered.
I
had a bit of fresh air.
I just couldn't stop laughing, and then Jordan just kept looking at me. It's just out of nowhere. Just go, hold that Chelsea wood. It's like, oh my god. Well,
actually, we had to look away from the Zoom call because I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, I decided not to look at Louis for that when we were doing that segment. But Tobes and I have covered it, mate. Don't worry, you can sit there and be a child.
we went full adult mode to control.
Laughing at penises.
So we do. It's a team effort. It's a team effort. Yeah. This is what Poch is instilling. He's instilling a culture, you know, togetherness.
It's true. To be fair, like, everyone's banging on about the comment sections of Moises Caicedo's first post, where everyone's like, yeah, guys, we're all in this together. Yeah. Once we know... Just me then. Okay, cool. No worries.
Then sooner or later, they're all going to be doing Reese's little cryptic sort of philosophical posts.
Yeah. I don't know why he does, why he does that.
Just wanted to make a quick live update. Pulisic has just scored an absolute rocket for AC Milan.
I don't care.
Where was that?
Thanks, producer Jordan. He's dead to me.
Thanks, Jordan's dead.
He's done it. Yeah, give it 20 minutes and he'll pull up.
It's like everyone's going to be like, oh, he should never have sold him. He's amazing. Oh. He didn't want to be here. And he just bangs on about Milan. We did this last week, or 2 weeks ago. It was space.
Tommy Tuchel dropped me for missing chances.
Shut up.
I always used to slide in the back post, but no one gave me the ball. What's that about, Chelsea?
Where's he from? What was that?
I don't know. Northern Ireland.
I was slightly worried because I've got the Arsenal game on in the corner. When Jordan went, oh, we're going to give a live update, I was slightly worried that Palace were 1-0 up.
I thought there might have been a goal. a goal would have been good for you though, Lou.
It would have been, but I'd need three. I'd need the perfect score.
We want Palace to win if we're on it. Like, we want Palace to win.
We'll get to that in a bit, obviously, because we've got to go through the predictor. Yeah, you guys just completely covered that section where, you know, we were being all adults and I was just in the corner.
With grace and decorum.
I
and cock jokes.
That he's definitely is part of grace.
I'm fine. I just couldn't help it. I was there. I lost it. And I was like, I've calmed down now. And then Jordan just like gives a little side eye every so often. And I just couldn't stop laughing. It's just, when I go. That's it. It's game over. And you hear about four different laughs. It's not my proudest thing, but you know, ugly laugh representation is important, especially in 2023. But anyway, as we've done this, and obviously we're going to be doing our Luton preview later in the week, let's go on to any other news. And we have to be quick on this, apparently, guys. So no tangents, okay? Got to talk about it, and that's it. So no laughing, no cock jokes. We have to be grown up and talk about the football. Okay,
like you're talking to yourself on this, right?
I am absolutely talking to myself on this because I need to realise who I am, where we're at, and how we all need to grow up. First story is obviously Michael Olise saying no. Obviously, we kind of briefly covered that in the last show when I had to edit that like the day after because that tends to happen whenever we record a podcast. It just something seems to happen in the world of football. Olise saying no is kind of out of nowhere, right? I mean, how did that happen?
I think there's something going on there. I think there's something going on behind it with the whole tribunal thing and the fact that they were going to apparently take us to one because of our tapping up, which, as I said before, I feel like that happens in every transfer ever in the modern day. But anyway, maybe we had done something wrong. Whilst I'm just hit the post. That's not happened, which is a shame. He's a good player. But as I said before, I feared for Nonny if Olise comes in because I think they're very similar players. And I think Nonny's a great player and should probably play more. So I'm not that downbeat about Olise signing a new 4-year deal with Palace. I don't think it's that bad. And also, apparently, his hamstring's shot. So maybe we've dodged a bullet. But yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, him turning around saying no. And also Steve Parrish going out and putting it on his own social media was a bit strange. But I think he has a bit of beef with us now, which
Steve Parrish
is always fun.
He loves that. He's like, he made his money as a marketing and advertising guru. So he knew exactly what he was doing. Because obviously he's... So I was speaking to Palace fans and they were saying basically he's been getting a lot of stick over the past few weeks because he wasn't tying players down to deals. Obviously the Elise news was rumbling around, so everyone thought that they'd messed it up. And then he kind of...
Zaha went.
Like a, yeah, Zaha went. And obviously it was like that was just like a whole thing where he's basically done like a two fingers up to the Palace fans almost to say, look, I do know what I'm doing. But it,
and Todd, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it would have been a massive, massive, massive thing for Palace if they lost the Lise and Zaha at the same time. Like, that would be devastating for Palace. And I think they're already struggling. You know, Roy kept them up last season because he came in and, you know, did what Roy does. So, you know, we'll have to see how they go this season. But hopefully they can get one goal and Arsenal can score three for the Premier League. But obviously the next story we're looking at is we are talking about Lewis Hall. And he's gone. That's it. Done. £35 million obligation to buy a season-long loan for, you know, another player to join Eddie Howe and his Aryan army. There just seems to be a lot of blonde-haired, blue-eyed boys going to you know, Newcastle at the moment. And Lewis Hall is the latest addition.
And a goth.
Yeah.
Or goth in midfield.
Yeah, they got Sandro in midfield. He's ready to go to Black Parade. To be fair, have you seen the new song which the Geordies come up with? I'm actually living... They're so good. They've done I Wanna Dance
With... Is that the Barcelona one?
No.
Oh, no. Tonali one.
I Wanna Dance With Tonali. Basically, they've done... Yeah.
It's just my TikTok is just all the tunes singing their songs in that bar. And they're the tune taking over Europe song to the... what's this, the real song called? This Is The Way To Amarillo.
Yeah.
It's just so good.
It's good. The one thing, I wish we could be more original with our songs. Like I saw...
Well, we're not that bad. Arsenal awful. Take all of our songs and then...
Yeah, there's a bit of a myth because everyone just thinks we sing the Chelsea, which is, if I'm honest, I'd like that for 90 minutes. I love it so much.
I think most Chelsea fans do.
It's primal. Do you know what I mean? It's primal. It's like we're going war. Like, you know who's here. We're here. Whereas, you know, there are some nice songs. I've enjoyed the Williams and the, you know, the Fabregas ones and all that
stuff. I was really proud
but
of
yeah,
the one.
Yeah, Arsenal sitting there nabbing, like, Super Tommy Tuchel becomes some Lego
Super
Eddie.
Super Mick Arteta.
It doesn't work, does it?
But yeah, I mean, Arsenal on their way to check. It's like, that's cute, lads. We're singing Win the Champions League again.
Yeah.
Bit different, you know.
It is, but then I also, like... We recycle a lot as well. Like, I mean, I was quite proud. I did one. Basically, there's me, and if you listen to our Twitter spaces, so Ben, who comes in, and we've got a friend who's like a music producer, and the three of us, we just mess about. Like, it's just between us. We never really put it out there. It's just fun. We like to kind of make up songs to different beats. So we did one which we put in the chat. I put in a little, like a Chelsea chat, which I've got with Tom and a few other mates. And we, I put it in the other day. It was one I did about... with Caicedo and Navia, but it was I can't remember what's the beat it was, Tom. It's the one I kept singing the other day. I need to figure it out. But it's basically
I can confirm to you there was a Navia and Caicedo song, and it is a recycled song.
And
it was a Bakayoko song. That's what I heard in the concourse.
Yeah, and I was livid because that gives me flashback because I started that Bakayoko song. That was me, and I am not happy with it. So I do not.
It was a good song, and for a bit he was good.
Yeah, when you say a bit, you mean 180 minutes.
I don't know. Do you know what? Bakayoko's a weird one because Watford is such a PTSD performance that you actually kind of think, like, he did look alright.
Were you there for that game?
No, I was not.
I was. It was not nice. It was the only positive.
I remember feeling relieved when he got sent off, though. Yeah. I was like, oh, that can't hurt.
It was literally, that was... the only positive of that day was it was a 20-minute taxi journey for me to get home to Wembley. It was like, oh my God, this, we're done. Get me home. Get me out of here. Like, it was awful. And I don't like some...
Edin tried his best, and that was about it.
Oh, yeah, no. But it's... Oh, I remember what the song is now. It's
nice.
Voulez-vous. Oh, I think it was Voulez-vous. Caicedo and Navia.
Oh, well, I saw the Caicedo. There was a Caicedo.
Yeah.
Fucking ate the scouse. Knew they'd rob his house.
Yeah, well, no, oh shit, no, it wasn't.
Came to join with Bowley's Blues. Oh, Caicedo.
That is a banger.
I don't hate that. I don't hate that at all.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
No, there was.
It wasn't doing the rounds as much as the easy one, but yeah. Hopefully that develops.
But that was the other one. Sorry, here you go. This is what I found. It was the status quo one that Arsenal used. Ironically, after we signed their noble last stuff, Here we go, here we go, here we go. The Scousers wanted them, but Joyce said no, here we go. Love your hand, Kai said oh. And Enzo! Here we go, here we go. I think that's great. I love that.
Yeah, we can't use that, though.
It's because of the goons. It's because of the goons. I'm just not interested, though.
If someone like Bournemouth invented that, I'd be like, yeah, all over it. We can't just use their chant, unfortunately.
If we'd gone inside Odegaard or Saka, then I'd... Actually, yeah, if we'd signed one of Smith Rowe or Saka, I'll be okay with it. That's fine. You can do it for that. We can do it for them, because it's a nice little rub your nose in it.
I reckon... Let's just go sign Bukayo Saka, Todd. Let's just get that done. Whack another £500 million on the table. That's all good. Anyway, after that glorious tangent about football songs, let's actually talk about Lewis Hall. I mean, we kind of all said how disappointed we were in this, but realistically, is there an option where he's a player who maybe could have stepped into midfield for us? Is there any way this could have worked? Obviously, there's potential talk that I've been seeing, paper talk today. I think it was Nizar Kinsella reporting that Spurs are considering a £40 million bid for Conor Gallagher. You know, was there maybe an opportunity for Hall to step in there? Like, how do we feel about this transfer?
I'm sad because I rate the player, and he did absolutely stand out in what was a real dire year for us last year when he played. He created chances, should have some assists to his name. But all things considered, I feel like this is something that perhaps everyone involved wants. Because I don't think it's as simple as, oh my God, they forced Lewis Hall out the club because they need to get sales done quickly. Because I think if that was the case, they would have been biting at that Gallagher bit a month ago, or Chalobah went into or interested. So I don't think that's quite completely the case. And I don't think it's completely the case on his side that he's pushed for a move because Newcastle is his boyhood club. I think it is his boyhood club and family's club, so it would appeal to him. I think Newcastle, there is more of a route to break in the positions that he plays. I think in midfield, if I'm honest, I don't see Lewis Hall breaking in for Chelsea when you've got Enzo, Caicedo, Lavia. Connor's obviously got that problem. He might be off, but you've also got Santos, Ugochukwu. Like, you've got a lot of midfielders who are young and promising. So left back's the only one. We have a lot of left backs as well. There are definitely left back, or at least one left back that I absolutely do rate Lewis Hall higher than. But that you know, regardless, there's still Mattson there as well. You were probably going to lose one of Mattson or Hall at least this summer if we look at it realistically, because I don't think anyone was coming in for Cucurella, to be honest. So I kind of feel like it's a bit of a £35 million for a guy that's played less than 10 Premier League games. Yeah, he is only 18. Yeah, he can develop. But we've also seen in other cases like Lamptey. That was a player Lamptey looked like a really promising player. I didn't want to lose him. Even at Brighton at the start looked great. And that sort of tailed off. And now you don't feel so strongly about it. So I'm not wishing him to have a bad career, obviously, in that sense. I hope he does well while his team stinks, because they're a bit more of a rival now. Now they're doing better. But yeah, I just think it's a high fee. I can see why they would accept it. I can see why Newcastle are in for him, and I can see why he'd want it.
Yeah, I agree. I think obviously it's a shame. You don't never want to lose a young talent, especially with the amount of young talents, or even just players who, you know, you look at the De Bruyne's and your Salahs, as everyone likes to remind us, but you know, other young talents as well that go, and you don't want them to go, and then we go and buy, and it's kind of like, what's the point in having such a good academy if we then go and buy? But the good academy and the young talents that we produce that we can then sell on are what allow us to spend. It's, you know, it's part of it. And ultimately, I think, you know, this is a player who, like Toad said, has played not very many times. He, whilst showing a lot of potential, is still very raw, and ultimately I don't know how much he would have played this year. And I think it's kind of one of those where, do you want to go to Newcastle? Yeah, don't mind. Like, my family's from up there, quite like them. Okay, well, we've got this bid. It's pure profit for us, so that's quite helpful with our ridiculous amount of FFP at the moment. So we're going to accept it. It's one of those where, you know, a lot of fans were in uproar and saying, oh, why is Cucurella not going? Well, Cucurella, if we managed to find someone to buy him alone, that would have been a miracle. And if we had, it would have been for 20, 25 million max, which is obviously a significant loss on the 62 million we, for some reason, spent on him last summer. So unfortunately, math comes into play, and when you're going around spending £1 billion in three transfer windows, it is actually quite important. So yeah, I didn't want to lose him, but he's gone now, and ultimately, with the players we brought in, if we let Lewis Hall leave and be something that tarnishes the window, then I think that's a bit pathetic.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I mean, I was hoping maybe we'd see more of him, but you know, let's just say I would say best of luck to him at Newcastle, but you know, kind of hope he doesn't do as well, because then I feel, you know, less bad about the fact we've lost such an amazing potential player. But let's move on to our next story. And it kind of fit quite nicely into the previous tangent we had when we were talking about songs. And I had no idea this was something in the news. But Tom did, which is why he wrote the script. So, Tom, tell us a little bit about this Florian Balogun news.
Well, first, I'm pretty sure his name is Follerin, not Florin, but whatever his name is.
It's been a long day, mate. I apologise. I'll be back.
Whatever his name is, we'll call him after he spent last year.
We'll just call him Dave.
Yeah, we spent last year on loan at, I believe, at Stade de Reims, and he scored a lot of goals, I think.
Mm, a little bit of a Will Still here. Oh, hello.
Yeah.
My name's Tom, well, that is,
that,
friend.
That is Will Still's
Did you know actually, Will Still has to pay... Oh, well, I can't remember that stupid tweet you'd see every day. Did you not remember that? For months on end, it was like, he gets paid
22
grand
a week they pay for him. Shut
that
up.
That was it.
Because he hasn't got his license. Well, I'm not sure I believe that's true for a start.
I love.
They made me by the end happy when his loss, when he got his first loss. I'm like, good, you'll shut up now. He's shit.
I loved. Do you ever see his? There was a coaching video he did, or they did a video behind the scenes, and the way he just went in between French and English, and he'd be speaking French.
And it's like proper geezer. It's proper geezer English into this like immaculate French. It's just so, it's so fluid.
It's just
yeah,
like it'd be going, oui, red Leicester, c'est très bien. I like cheese. Fucking 3 points, boys. All right.
Red Leicester.
I don't know.
Of all the cheeses, you went red Leicester.
Leicester.
For
Leicester rouge. C'est très bien. J'adore.
Yeah.
Je parle un petit du français. Je t'ai pour mon examen à l'école. Oui.
Yeah, you expected more Del Boy, and you actually got full on. Like, yeah, it was good.
But anyway, let's get back to
fucking
the
Red
news.
Leicester.
Leicester Rouge. Tom, tell us what's going on with Stavros Balogun, please.
Monsieur Balogun, we'll call him. Well, last year, this player scored 21 goals and got 2 assists in his 37 games. In Ligue 1 for Stade de Reims, I'll say it again so Louis can make some stupid face. He's clearly a decent player. Apparently, though, and this is what massively puts me off, is his £50 million price tag, which is what Arsenal are asking for. It's been reported for a while, to be fair, but it's coming now. Some of the big ones. More reputable sources like the Standard and the Mail, well, whatever you think of the Mail. But anyway, it's in there. It's out there. It's a possibility. Apparently, we've agreed terms with him, but I haven't heard anyone big say that yet. And as I said earlier, agreeing terms is no longer necessarily news. It seems to just happen with every player that's ever played football with Chelsea now. I don't know. I haven't seen much of him played, to be honest. His goal scoring record in Ligue 1 is good. I heard someone say it's better than Messi's. I haven't done my research on that, sorry, but it's a statement if so. And you know he's clearly another good young player, but again he's 22 years old. It would be giving Arsenal £50 million when they've made it clear that their own FFP situation isn't amazing. That's why they've had to loan David Raya and not sign him permanently. So I'm not sure I'd want to necessarily give Arsenal £50 million for a player that they clearly have no intention of using. If he's sitting behind Eddie Nketiah in their team, then he's clearly not going to play. So. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you guys think about him or even know about him. But I saw it and I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I knew he had a lot of goals, and obviously we've actually had quite a decent hit rate. And I mean, jury's out on Disasi. We'll see over time. But like with Ballyshire, we've had a decent hit rate from the French league. But I know Lacazette scored a lot of goals there last year. So I don't know. Maybe strikers is something to avoid. I don't know. Drogba wasn't bad, but yeah, I actually quite like Nketiah. You brought him up there. I'd actually. At least I know with more certainty that someone I think would do a job, and he was of course at Cobham once upon a time, as pretty much every youngster seems to be, but yeah, with Balogun, 50 million, it suddenly turns basically into Kai Havertz, Balogun plus 15 million for Kai Havertz. Oh no, sorry, wrong way around.
Yeah, no, I get you.
And I think 65 for Havertz looked good. If it becomes 15 and Balogun, it doesn't look as good. I don't know. But I don't know enough about the player, so maybe it would look great.
I mean, he looks good, but then he's a really similar profile to Nico Jackson. So for me personally, I don't see the value in spending £50 million on him. and we can talk about his record.
And it would mean the end of Brozier, you'd think, wouldn't you?
It probably would. It probably would. And I don't think there's enough quality there for me personally to look at him and be like, that's a player where we can afford to we can do that. I personally would rather wait until January and go in for Ivan Toney. You know, I've been very vocal about that for ages, and I think the way that he holds himself, obviously, in that interview on Diary of a CEO, obviously he talks about being a boyhood Liverpool fan and obviously, you know, liking the way Arsenal play and blah 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 blah. Look, I genuinely don't care. Like, the way that he was holding himself and talking in that interview showed a real strong sense of mentality. Did question some of the stuff he was talking about though, with saying, you know, he didn't play some of the bets, he did it for somebody else and just took the rap. I was like, not sure about that, mate. But you know, overall, we've all done an Acca we regret, and let's just get him in at the Chelsea. Get him in, maybe not wearing the number 9 shirt. Let's get in a decent set of 4.
I reckon he's worth a gamble.
He absolutely is worth a gamble. Fucking hell, I just realised he did that. Oh my god!
I bet.
I can't believe he didn't clock it. This is joke. But yeah, I thought that interview was interesting, wasn't it? Because it was like, I was surprised he was talking up about other clubs when Brentford have been this good with it. Like, I mean, they're not going to sack him. Ivan Toney is a big asset to them and he's going to give them a lot of profit in the future. But like, to be talking up moves already when they've been, you know, good enough to, they've stuck by him with all this. I think they did a sort of a message towards the end of the season that was actually really commendable. So yeah, I was a bit surprised he was talking about that. But I like him. I think he's a brilliant player.
I think he's not guaranteed to be, but I think he's quite likely to potentially leave in January. Pretty sure he's only got a year left in his contract, so by January it will be time ticking, and it's then whether they sign a new contract and try and sell him that way, or whether he just goes then. Because I think a player like him will certainly want to move on to a bigger club. Again, no disrespect to Brentford, who are flying at the moment, but they've already shown their, you know, they don't need Toney. They're already doing pretty well with Brian and Werner and Tobes pick. There you go. So yeah, I mean, it's one of them. But I agree on Toney, and or just generally someone like that. I think we need someone with a bit older, a bit more experience, because at the moment that's something that this squad is desperately lacking. So yeah, and that kind of moves us on to the next transfer, which I think is another one who I would just say no to. Well, I'll let Louis do his thing because he's good at it.
Just because I was laughing in the last segment and you guys had to carry it doesn't mean that I can't do my job, okay, Tom? Anyway.
Louis Benavente's a net weight panel is low.
Brennan Johnson. Should we just say no and move on?
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yep. This is when, after we recorded this, and I'm going to edit it tonight.
Officially.
And then tomorrow morning.
Louis Benavente. Terrible bandwidth.
Terrible banter, terrible bandwidth, terrible bloke. George Beaton,
a shocking human being.
He's officially gone, so I don't know what we want to do. We could do our own little segment on Brennan Johnson.
Yeah,
the host is gone. The Zoom's about to collapse. But I mean, we could do our own little segment on Johnson if you want, Tobes. I'm the host now.
Oh, he's actually fully gone. Oh, right.
Get fucked, Louis. I'm the host now. I am the captain now.
Reese has got injured. Chitty's taken over.
I'm no longer the captain now.
I don't know what happened there. That is wow. Okay.
They booted you out just for suggesting Johnson.
You'll enjoy that. Enjoy that bit of the audio that I send you, where I just slag you off as a human being.
Oh no, I did hear that. I did hear Louis. Okay. Terrible internet. Terrible human being. Really, really, really appreciate that.
Actually, yeah, I think Tobes was the one who said terrible human being. I think I just said bad bloke, but...
Do you know what the best thing is here? I think we've actually cheated Zoom, because the we obviously had a...
No, it says 5 minutes. It says 5 minutes.
I've got 5 minutes at the top of mine, so you can do a Zoom on your own if you want.
Anyway, that's fine. Brennan Johnson, I'm a terrible person. He's not the player that we need because he doesn't fit the profile. And that's it for this section of transfers. Until undoubtedly we put in a bid for Brennan Johnson, and I'm going to have to do a voiceover again. And we're going to have voice notes again. But anyway, that's that. We're going to move on to this afterwards. We're going to have a little break, as usual, because, you know, Zoom. And then we're going to go into our Premier League predictor and see where we are at. Jordan, can you give us a score currently, what it is at Selhurst Park, please? It's 0-0.
Ooh. Cool.
Jeff Shreves, is that you?
Right, it's now the moment you've all been waiting for. We do have an update on how it's working, okay? So we've slightly adapted the rules because we're all getting confused. So, for the Premier League predictors, we've basically gone 1 point if you get the correct score, obviously who's winning or losing or whatever, or drawing. 3 points if you get the correct like overall score. You then get an additional point if you get the goal scorer. And then if you get the goal scorer and the correct score, you get an additional point.
Only one goal scorer each, yeah. And you have to name one every week.
Yeah, and basically you can get a max of 5 points per thing. And then also we're going to do it across the month because none of us have enough money to do the predictor and do the forfeit every week.
All the bollocks.
It has nothing to do with me being at the bottom of the pile right now. It's the way that we've done it. I like how, like, the other day, you guys going, should we just make it a monthly thing? Like, I'm there guy looking at the scores going, absolutely, that sounds like a great idea. But if we go
best for all parties.
Oh, mate, it's a nut. If we go into it, though, let's get these bloody scores on, mate. Right. So, start at the back, or I want to anyway, but I can't because the page has been ripped out of my book. Oh, here it is. Anyway.
Friday Night Football.
It is Friday Night Football. We start off with the Forest versus Chef game. And Tobe's got it slap bang, right in the right, completely. 2-1.
We'll take it.
Me and Tom got 1 point each. Tobe's got the correct result for Fulham versus Brentford and the goal scorer. Good old Brian and Buemo. But obviously Brian
but he did me in. He did me in.
Yeah, he did. He did.
The last minute, 92nd minute, he goes and ruins it. I would have had a lovely sweep.
It would have been, but it's not, and you lost. So that's it. Game over. You did that. And then Tom, again, got the correct score with Brentford beating Fulham. I got nothing because I predicted a draw. However, I made up for it because guess what? Scored max points in the Liverpool-Bournemouth game. There was me getting the 3-1 result correct. And then on top of that, Salah was scoring. So, is what it is. Tom got 1 point, and so did Tobes. Forget by predicting Liverpool to win. And then, me and Tom were the closest with the Wolves-Brighton game by one goal. Tobes went 2-1 again for Brighton, so I got a point. But then me and Tom were both one goal off. If I predicted Wolves to score, which I was going to, I would have got 3 points and I wouldn't be in the position I'm in right now. But then, obviously, Tom got one less goal for Brighton. And then Spurs United, Tobes and Tom both got 1 point each, predicted Spurs to win. I got none because I predicted United to win. City Newcastle, Tom was banker, didn't come in, but he got a point. I got a point for predicting Newcastle to win as well. Tobes got nothing because he got a draw.
I backed the Toon Army and they didn't do anything.
But then I absolutely fucked it after that. I've absolutely put it down the shitter because I should have gone safe with Villa to win at Villa Park, but no. I decided to predict a draw. So I am absolutely fucked because we also all predicted Chelsea to win 2-0. So got no points there. I then got no points at the Villa-Everton game and you two both picked up one. So that puts us on what exactly is it? Is it currently right now the score is...
it was 12, 11...
Or is it 11?
It was 11-9-8, was it?
So if we top this up again quickly, we've got... I think it is 12-9-8 and that puts... Tobes in a pretty steady lead, just chilling out.
I'm safe, mate. I'm at the 40 point mark, or the equivalent.
You're nearly there, but obviously
not anymore because it's monthly. So.
It's monthly.
Yeah. Well. This one's a week. We promised the listeners.
Yeah. Right, no. Know, no.
I was always behind.
We said monthly. So you know, I personally think we should stick with that. So we'll go for that, and then we'll obviously do our predictions for the. you know, foreseeable, and I'm definitely not panicking for the rest of the month, but I am chasing my tail, and obviously the loser of this month will be wearing a Power Ranger costume. Anyway, with those predictions, I am currently fucked, and obviously we're going to be doing our predictor in the next game. Can't speak today. And of course we'll be doing our predictor in our preview for the Luton game, so make sure you tune into that pod. But as it is very well documented, because I think this will be the, this is the last week before we have our, or do we include the, I can't include this, do we include the September fixtures? Because they're the last ones before the international break? So the first week of September?
Yeah, if we're calling it a month. Well, a month is like, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. So
it, yeah.
We'll include the first game of September, which means after the international break. That first home game, that is when the forfeit will be being carried out by a member of the Chelsea.
Well, hang on,
would
our predictions not be... Our predictions would be still be done on a weekly basis. We're not just predicting...
Oh, yeah, we're still doing it on a weekly basis.
Yeah, right,
And then we'll...
But they're just totted up over a month instead of a week.
Gotcha.
So it's like a proper mini-league.
Yeah, so you get that sort
of... Yeah, that's a good title race.
Yeah, it is. And then obviously at the end of the season, you're going to have that one person who's going to have to do a massive forfeit, which is decided by the listener. Tattoos are allowed, by the way, guys, so you know, if you want to recommend a tattoo, we can potentially do that. Obviously, you know, we've got to make sure that everyone's happy with it, and when I say everyone's happy with it, basically Jordan is going to have the final decision with Gary, and those guys are going to decide, and that is it, basically. However, I do want to say one thing: no rivals are allowed to be tattooed on you. You can't say get a Spurs tattoo, because that is just not happening. But I do think that I would look great, just my face in the centre of Tom's chest. I think he'd love that.
If I get a tattoo...
This is a moment which happened last week. Like, Louis is going to throw this out there and hope that me and Tom are going to... I'm going to stand up. I'm not getting a tattoo. I'm vetoing. I don't have a tattoo. I don't plan on getting a tattoo.
I'm not getting a tattoo.
Eat my arms. That's not happening.
So, unless you're planning on coming... Unless you're planning on coming last, Louis, and you want a lovely like duo tattoo of mine and Tobe's head, like on your ass, then
I mean, if it's on my ass, no one's ever going to see it, are they? Do you know what I mean?
No, you have to get them here on each cheek.
Yeah, licking your tongue, go full six nine,
and then start getting into mumble rap.
Yeah, cool. maybe not. Anyway, guys, that is it. That is obviously. Let us know all your thoughts down in the comment section. Well, we'll be back for the Luton preview. And that game is on Friday night, so we'll be recording that in 2 days' time, which means undoubtedly we're going to have some random news which we haven't expected, and it's going to come out on the Tuesday. But anyway, guys, that has been the Chelsea podcast. Please do make sure.
Should we guess what the news is?
I reckon it's going to be,
because this would look mad if we get it right. Mbappe.
I reckon we're going to put a bid in for Brennan Johnson. And we'll send a player on loan. I reckon.
Do you think Callum could go the other way?
No, I reckon. Do you know what I reckon it'll be? I reckon it'll be Andre Santos.
I feel like I've seen that reported today. So it would that would.
No, I've never seen that reported. What are you talking about? I've not seen anything that says that in the past 20 minutes at all.
Who am I going to pluck out my arse? Who's like a random name we might just bid? I've seen this link with some American keeper, or not American keeper, plays in the
Yeah, I saw that. MS. He's yeah. Serbian.
Mm. He's tall, I've noted.
But he's tall, so he's got long arms.
I'm going to say. I don't know. They're so surprising, these Boehly and Egbali targets. Tom, who have you got? Have you got any of your names?
Trying to think of like a random player that we just go and chuck a bid in for. And
Eden Hazard is going to come back to Chelsea.
No. Do you know what? I've said it before. I'm saying it again. You're talking about players coming back. And I'll back this up with reasoning, right? We've seen Chile playing left wing. I'm watching a left back being given the duties to pretty much play on the wing. I see Chile with a chance on the left-hand side against Liverpool. Against West Ham, he had a chance. And Barcelona are in a bit of a sticky situation. They can't register Alonso. That's actually a thing. So I'm looking at Chile's chance. Honestly, Marcus Alonso plays these two games, we'd have won both of them. Am I wrong? With the role that he's playing, is that not Marcus's forte?
Someone runs in behind. Tommy Astage has been sent off.
Has he?
Yeah, two yellows. I'm going to say that we are going to put a bid in for... Oh, it's not going to happen, is it? But I'm just going to say anyway, because why not? We're actually going to make some ground and some progress on Vlahovic.
That's
what I'm going to say.
I mean, I've got that, but I've got something which I think might happen. I think Jordan's going to send a picture of his scrotum to the group chat, and it's not going to be meant for us.
The look
on his face. I can't wait on Wednesday to go, so guys, this happened. I was right. Mystic Meg. But yeah. Anyway, guys, that has been it. That has been the pod for this week. Let us know what you think the most random thing that's going to happen is going to be. Make sure you give us a good review. Please. Please. And obviously
Five stars. Send it to your mates.
Exactly.
Rate us like your Uber drivers.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we need to that. Tell your Uber driver. I want to hear a story every week of someone sharing the pod with somebody. I want something random. I want you to have spoken to a boss man in a club toilet, got him to subscribe.
Pass the pod.
You know,
you could call it pass the pod. That's a good phrase. Yeah,
that's never been done before.
That's great. Yeah,
and
well,
by the way, we're going to the Samrat later on this year. That's never been done.
Well, we do need to come up with a phrase for, you know, sharing the podcast.
Yeah, we'll be back stronger, guys.
We're going to chumba-wumba right back. Can I just say, by the way, I did a podcast with my mate Benj, right? And that was on YouTube.
That's not a real name.
We use the name, and we said we're going to chumba-wumba before they even did. So actually, the Peter Crouch podcast stole chumba-wumbering from me. So have that, Crouchy, you big lanky freak.
Shame he got injured after his goal as well.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's a shame. Yeah, it's what it is. Anyway, guys, we've been trying to finish the pod up for the past 5 minutes. We've gone off on tangents. Follow the podcast. Speak to us on socials. Pass the pod in any way, shape, or form. And we will see you later. Ta-da.